It seems we can learn a bit about a place by strolling through the streets of the city or town and stopping to take in the various murals adorning the walls. Scranton, for example. This one features a spread that visitors simply love. Its title, The Office, The Story of Us. It's a mural by Hagopian Arts, and it's a project of Scranton Tomorrow, with support from Universal Television and Peacock and the Lackawanna County Visitors Bureau. The fourth mural in a series of public artworks developed through this program, the project is a tribute to The Office, NBC's hit comedy series set in Scranton that aired from 2005 to 2013. Located at 503 Lackawanna Avenue, the mural features realistic black and white portraits of 17 cast members from the popular mockumentary, along with some of the show's most memorable quotes and landmarks. And people come from far and wide to take selfies with their Dunder Mifflin friends. That's a mural that celebrates the TV show that put Scranton on the national map and connects the city to pop cultural icons still popular today. We're hearing music that reminds us of Scranton's past. The mural is titled The Big Band Era, and it's by Eric Bussert, and it's part of the Scranton Tomorrow Mural Arts Program, and it honors the significant contributions of regional musicians to the world of jazz. The mural features famous musicians such as the Scranton Sirens and their bandleader, violinist Billy Lustig, along with the Dorsey brothers, who first played with the Scranton Sirens at the historic Hotel Casey, and their close friend and mentor, Duke Ellington. The design also includes a flapper inspired by a vintage poster advertising the Scranton Sirens in concert at the Hotel Casey. Adding a pop of color, the artist's use of the lotus flower as a backdrop for the portraits is significant and symbolic. Just as the lovely lotus flower blooms in harsh conditions, the artistry of the jazz movement flourished here, even during the region's industrial past. And we have this horticultural footnote. We find online a short video clip recorded at the Black Bayou Wildlife Refuge of Western honeybees foraging earnestly for pollen on an American lotus in mid-August. That from Wild Open Eye. And that happenstance is just right as an introduction to the third mural we'll visit. The Good News of the Hive mural by artist Matthew Willey is painted on the Scranton Civic Ballet Company building, rear 234 Mifflin Avenue in downtown Scranton, another project of Scranton Tomorrow presented by the Wright Center. A world-renowned muralist, Willey is dedicated to raising awareness about the importance of pollinators through his art. This project brings him closer to achieving his personal commitment to hand paint 50,000 honeybees, the number of bees in a healthy, thriving hive, in murals around the world. Matthew's work is much more than an inspiring mural, said Rose Randazzo Pizzuto, mural arts curator. It's a movement. Scranton is now connected to a global initiative to save the bees through public mural art. There is a contingent of Scrantonians and many others from around the region who gather each year at this time to celebrate the critical role honeybees play in our lives, bringing science and the arts together. It's the sixth annual Honeybee and Harvest Day at the Greenhouse Project in Naog Park in Scranton, and it will take place on Sunday, September 20th, from noon to 4. Kimberly Crafton is the event's coordinator, and she stopped in at the WVIA studios with Casey Galitz, who is a respected beekeeper, to talk about the Greenhouse Project and honeybees most especially. Kimberly.
The Greenhouse Project is a not-for-profit organization that many people know from purchasing plants there. It occupies the greenhouse that is in Naog Park, and that has been going for about 10 years now under their auspices. And basically those plant sales, when you get to interact there with those plant sales, those fund the mission of the organization, which is to really connect food to health and the individual health to our community health. So we look at those kind of, you know, from the personal to the communal, but we do it in ways that use movement. So we have three tenets. One is we teach, we move, and we grow. So in those orders, you know, we're always teaching people about creative arts, about culinary arts, about horticultural arts, and, you know, getting out into nature and moving your body, interacting with nature and with one another, which also helps us to be healthier bodies, which then we bring into our healthier communities.
And around this time every year, you take note of the harvest, centuries of farmers and communities and places around the world who have this kind of calendar. It's harvest time now, and you always invite us to come together and celebrate.
Harvest time was always a time of coming together and of true celebration. I love that you use that word. And we're kind of reaching back in time and forward in time, back in time to when the honeybees were the catalyst for that harvest. Our honeybees are the ones who make the pollination, which helps the plants to grow, to become fruitful, literally, and which in turn feed us. And that harvest celebration would not happen without their efforts. And since the honeybee population is in grave danger from many, many assaults in our environment, we want to make sure that we're celebrating and uplifting them in ways that people have an opportunity to learn about them, how important they are, and to help create an environment in which they are safer and to continue to help facilitate our harvests and our celebrations of harvests for many, many years to come.
Is there a bee-themed event then that's on the horizon?
There is. We have our 6th annual Honey Bee and Harvest Day, which will be on September 20th. That's a Sunday, September 20th, in Naog Park. And it runs from noon until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And it kicks off with our now famous honeybee costume parade. And not just honeybees, people dress up as all different kinds of pollinators. Dogs dress up as honeybees, and grandmothers and grandchildren and babies and everything that walks, crawls, and runs dresses like a honeybee and marches behind our queen bee, who is a sight to see, on stilts. She leads the parade on stilts, marching away throughout the park. And we have the Howard Gardner Middle School Marching Band with us, and they are wonderful. So we do our salute and our celebration of the honeybees with our costume parade and encourage and invite the community to join us. On our website, we have lots of different costume ideas, and all you have to do is just, you know, Google costume ideas for making honeybee costumes, and there are plenty, but we have a few to get you started there. And so that's how we kick the day off. But we also have, we call them education stations. So we have a vast array of educational partners coming to do interactive activities with kids of all ages, because I know there are never just kids there. There's always somebody creating and learning and doing something at each of these education stations. And we have a few local vendors as well. And then we've also got some really wonderful harvest demonstrations, where we have an antique apple press that's there. And our apple pickers are busy right now kind of gathering the harvest of apples. And that day we will have them there, and you'll get to watch an antique apple press in motion. And we'll also have, and you'll get to hear from today, our beekeeper, Casey, will be doing some really incredible demonstrations and discussions about bees. So you'll learn an awful lot there. And finally, we'll have some dances in celebration of the harvest. And these are the traditional dances from different countries around the world that you'll get to see and experience how the harvest was celebrated in different cultures around the world.
Welcome, Casey. And tell us how you got drawn to bees when you were little. Were you already interested? Or tell us about your bee journey.
Wow, I'm excited. I don't usually get asked that. Everybody wants to know about the bee. But yeah, my beekeeping journey started as a very young child. I would sit in the grass and see all of the bugs and insects there, you know, kind of meandering about. And I would have literal conversations with them and pick them up and just watch them do their thing. And I've had this sensation for insects and the smallest elements of what earth creatures have to offer since a very young age. And that leads to my professional and personal goals of reminding human beings that we have a direct relationship with earth and that we need earth to survive. But really, earth doesn't need humans to survive at all. And I thought, how do I get there? How do I bring this full circle? And the answer came to me by way of using the bees to educate human beings of this relationship. So I became a science teacher and a master beekeeper with Cornell. And through those avenues, I think that it's important to, you know, just give people a relationship with Earth if they don't already. And once they make that relationship, then, you know, all of our future looks a little bit better if we can just care for Earth in the right ways.
Kimberly, you used the word grave. Is the situation grave for honeybees?
I think if we don't change anything, if we just sit complacent and don't take a look around us at what Earth is already telling us, yes. However, if we change our ways, even in small doses, the future looks a lot better.
Are you finding a larger, wider interest? Do people want to start hives or becoming bee tenders?
Over the course of history, it was retired folks who were keeping bees. People who had done their job, had, you know, kind of aged out of the workforce, so to say, and had their deserved time at home. I think that is definitely changing. There is a much younger beekeeper emerging. They have diverse backgrounds, different families, and different reasons that they beekeep too. It is definitely interesting to watch. It's something that I never expected. I expected myself to become a master beekeeper and immerse myself more into beekeeping as a retired folk myself. And suddenly I'm here in my late 30s and early 40s, completely immersed and loving it, actually. It's a really good momentum forward, I think, because if you take the view into the smallest parts of Earth, it gives us a good idea of what the bigger picture looks like. And that's incredibly important. Even if you've got to sneak it in there and in cute little ways, like teaching children to see if they can flap their wings as fast as a honeybee.
Tell us, if you didn't mind, about the pendant that you're wearing.
That is incredibly special to me, actually. This is my way of dressing up for something like this. You know, I embellish myself with the gifts I've been given over the years of honeybees. I have a hair clip, I have buttons and pins, and this was given to me by my husband as a gift, and inside of it, it has a picture of he and I on our wedding day, and on the other side, it has a picture of my son and I, and it, just like bees, it stays very close to my heart.
Now, if you were to look at the design of the bee that's on the locket, if we're talking about honeybees, do we generally mean the same kind of insect?
Yeah, honeybees are brought over from Europe in the 1700s. So these are all non-native species that have been used over hundreds of years, obviously, for agriculture, for food, of course, and education, really, and pollinating services, absolutely. That's where we're going to go with that one. Pollinator services are huge in the United States in beekeeping. People will take their bees from one part of the United States to another part of the United States for a different season to pollinate certain things like almonds and blueberries and pumpkin. So the bees are sort of world travelers.
What do you think happens, Kimberly, when people are smiling and laughing and marching and having conversations about bees, learning about at the education stations? Do people report back to you that they wanted to come back the next year because it was edifying, or what? I'm sure they get all kinds of responses.
I think the biggest thing that we get, and we get this a lot at the Greenhouse Project, is the authenticity of the events that are sponsored by the Greenhouse has a way of touching people personally and deeply. So it feels authentic. It feels real. It feels like community. It feels like something that you want to take part in because it just had a really nice vibe that you don't get to feel in a lot of places. But that's the biggest thing that I think people are trying to get over to us is that feeling of having just a really nice energy that they want to be a part of more often. As far as the learning side of it, we're always astonished. There's always somebody learning something new. And, you know, I've heard people in their 80s say, I have been alive this many years. How is it I never knew that about a bee? How is it I never knew that about the process of pollination? How is it I never knew that about our food sources and about, you know, apple trees? And so the wonder of it is how many different people in our educational partners and our vendors that come and they just have a passion for something. And this event allows that passion to just shine through. And they can be their fullest selves. I'm getting goosebumps as I'm talking about this because it's just a chance to really share what turns you on about the world with others. And they get to see that light shine in you and it clicks something on in them. So I think those are the kinds of experiences that we hear about the most. And it can happen to you in your 90s, just a light clicks off, or it can happen to you when you're 9 and you just want to find out more about these small things that make big things happen in our world.
Casey, do you hear, and I don't mean Mozart, do you hear music when you're around a hive? Is there any musicality as you perceive it?
You hit an emotion here for that, and it's something that I don't usually tap into, but I certainly hear music around the bees. Many times my husband will look for me in the morning, and I'm having coffee with the bees. They speak to me, and I don't really think I understand them. But when I speak to them, I think that they somehow understand me. And we've had the same relationship over all of these years. It's never gotten better, our communication. It's really just they're here, and they know I'm their person, one of their people, and they know what I've got to offer them. And since they don't belong here, as far as being a non-native species, it's really a symbiotic relationship. So I look at them as an extension of my family. Each colony is its own individual organism. It's one. It's not many bees. I don't see it as that. I see it as one. So if I have 3 hives in my backyard, I have 3 different organisms that I interact with as often as I can. I give them what they need to survive, and they give me far more than that, definitely. My family is all beekeepers, and I think that the reason for that is because of the buzz that surrounds our backyard, the music that you're talking about, the love that they emit into the air, and what that does to human beings, especially human beings who have been craving a relationship with nature for so long, and they don't know how to get there. And they hear this buzz, they hear this music, and they can't explain it, and it draws them to something. And it just so happens that this is a place at Naog Park with the Greenhouse Project, talking about bees, dancing, loving, music, food, connection. That's where they go. They need something, and that's where they find it.
It reminds you of the sacredness that is in every layer of nature. From, if you want to look at artistically, the sacred geometry of the every comb inside of there is an interconnecting piece. So nothing exists in a vacuum. And one of the best ways to learn about that is to look at how does a bee survive? How do they communicate? How do they organize their living and their working and their reproduction and their work? And for me, watching, and I am very non-knowledgeable, I'm just, I'm awestruck. And it is from the magic of watching them move and work and never stop. And everything has a purpose and a mission, and everyone's on task and on target. And there's a collective thing happening that, as you said, I don't understand, but I'm drawn to it. And I'm drawn to it because of what it teaches me about what being alive is. and how we need to find our way to exist and to have purpose and to be connected to one another and to be moving forward all together.
And the hexagon, Casey. Do you draw hexagons? What do you make of the hexagon?
Well, the hexagon is one of the strongest shapes in nature. And as a person of science, I can say I revert to that an awful lot, especially when it comes to biomimicry and using nature to kind of inspire us as human beings. And if I find myself doodling, it would definitely be some hexagons. Yeah, I put them in all the sides of my notebooks, and sometimes they're abstract. Sometimes I try to make them perfect. I can never get them perfect. But check out honeybee hexagons. They are quite perfect. Mine are not.
Let's talk about the delights of honey and its ancient ways. And if we found a cache of honey from ancient Egypt, it would still be okay?
Yeah.
And its antibiotic properties and antibacterial properties. And it is nature's most potent medicine, probably, in natural form.
Yeah, it's intended to heal a lot of things. And even the bees use it as their own medication. They collect pine resin from evergreen trees and they mix it with early honey before it's evaporated in what we would call honey. And they use it for slathering on the inside of their boxes or inside of a natural colony in a crevice in a tree or wherever they choose. And they just coat the sides of their walls with it for insulation. It also, like she said, it has antibacterial, antifungal properties. So they want that in their home too. And then if bees are sick, they also use it to heal.
And on the way in, you mentioned mead. How does mead, how do you make mead?
You don't have to give us a recipe.
Mead is a recipe.
Okay, well.
It's quite great. It's the simplest thing ever. If you take raw honey, honey that hasn't been pasteurized yet, and you mix it with water and thyme, that's your recipe. Today we convolute in a way, and we try to hasten the process. So in hurrying it, we've done things like adding chemicals or even natural yeasts of sort, and it just speeds up the process a little bit. But essentially, it is raw honey and water. That's it. And it's also incredibly delicious.
And you'll actually be able to sample some there at the festival as well, because Spacetime Mead and Ciders has been with us pretty much every year, and they'll be there again this year under new ownership, but they will be there. And it's just perfect just to be enjoying the day and to have a sip of mead and thank the bees yet again for another delight. I also wanted to just give a little bit of a preview as well of the traditional harvest dances that we'll be featuring this year. And this is our first time to do this, so we're very excited to incorporate the human celebrations of the harvest as well as, you know, the bee, the apiary celebrations. So we'll have celebrations of Chinese traditional dancing and Indian traditional dancing, dancing from Central America and from Africa. So some of these will be in performance and some will be in interactive. You'll actually get to learn and take part in a few moves that were traditional in cultures around the world. And we think that's really lovely and important part of bringing this in, because the harvest has such a deep meaning to humans across time. With grocery stores and with delivery to your home of anything you could want to eat, we've lost that connection between food and our bodies and between food and the soil that it comes from and the processes that create from the first turning over of the soil to the planting of seed to the nurturing of that plant and then the harvesting of the food. We have really lost that connection. But in traditional dances of the world, that connection continues to be celebrated through those culture bearers who have continued on with those traditions.
Then review for us when and where we find the Greenhouse Project online.
Absolutely. We have our 6th annual Honeybee and Harvest Day, which will be on September 20th. That's a Sunday, September 20th, in Nayog Park, and it runs from noon until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So the best place to find information is online at scrantongreenhouse.org. Right there, there'll be a button that says Honeybee and Harvest Day. So again, scrantongreenhouse.org. Click on Honeybee and Harvest Day, and that'll give you a full rundown, including the time of each of the different events that we're talking about, when you can make sure to be able to see. Casey's going to do actually two separate presentations with beekeeping, the first one at 12:45 for children. And then the second one later in the afternoon is an all ages presentation. And you'll be able to see the apple press happening all day. And then you'll be able to find online what time the different dances and things are happening. And the best way to do that again is just to go online, because also there you can see the sponsors who have been so generous and making this happen. And we really want to thank them so much for coming on and making all of this possible.
Any last thoughts, Casey?
You know, I think if I could say anything to the world and have it stick somewhere forever and have it heard on repeat over and over, it would be to suggest people take a look at a honeybee colony, learn how it works, and just take one little thing and incorporate that into their human life. And I think that everybody could benefit from that.
Master beekeeper Casey Galitz, with Kimberly Crafton, who is coordinator of the 6th annual Honeybee and Harvest Day, to be presented by the Greenhouse Project on Sunday, September 20th, from noon to 4 in Naog Park, 200 Arthur Avenue in Scranton. As you heard, there will be traditional harvest dances. There will be a wonderful parade, costume parade with a marching band, and it will be a chance for everyone to sing out and celebrate. The parade will be led by a wonderful queen bee on stilts, and you're invited to, if you like, make your own honeybee costume. You can choose colors, you can choose fabrics, and it's so much fun. And as Kimberly told us, even dogs dress up as honeybees or bumblebees. And if you don't have a costume, they have yellow tape and black tape, and they'd be happy to wind it round you so you could be part of the fun for the parade. The Howard Gardner Middle School Marching Band will lead the parade, and at noon, that's when the parade steps off and moves through the park and saluting the wonderful trees and the flowers and the bees. That's the 6th annual Honeybee and Harvest Day Festival, presented by the Greenhouse Project, from noon to 4 on Sunday, the 20th of September. And it's in Naog Park in Scranton, 20 Arthur Avenue. And there'll be all the information you need on the website, scrantongreenhouse.org, scrantongreenhouse.org.